Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Stacy. I'm calling you from Sacramento, California, talking to you live. This is The Diary. This is the radio show for me, the nonprofit organization for single mothers, the AAASM. I'm the host, Stacy Johnson, and I'm also the director of the program. I'm here today on Sunday before Christmas, December 20th, with my co-host, Ray, and she's here today. Say hi, Ray.
Hello.
Hello. I think we are celebrating Christmas a little early, but that's okay because it's Sunday. We both are, so it's all good. This is our Christmas show, and this show today, it's devoted to children because Christmas, I think, you know, thank God for my parents. Christmas is for children, and my parents, even though there were 11 of us, and I'm always going to talk about my parents because they were angels, and they don't even know they prepared their last kid for this recession because, you know, thank God, everything that's going on in this world today, I know all my siblings are pretty much squared away. None of my siblings, even if they got laid off, and I know one of my brothers is a journalist, and his paper went out of business a couple years ago, but, you know, the man has a degree, and he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. So I'm sure he doesn't have a problem getting a job. And this show and this week, we're all about kids and about Christmas and about family, and that's what the show is about today. We're going to discuss, you know, the treatment of black kids across America. And, you know, being the youngest of 11, you know, I was born late, of course. My parents were very old, and I lost my parents at a very young age. And you have to excuse me because it's a sensitive issue. And I was a mom at a very young age, and I thank God for that because now I know I'm going to be able to live and see my kids live and survive. And
how old were you when you became a mother?
I was 23 when I had Jessica, mm-hmm. and me and Jesse fighting today, but it's okay because Jesse know I love her, you know, and Jesse's a good girl, and I got three wonderful kids. That's why two are grown already, and I got one baby, you know, still looking for Christmas, even though he looked like a 30-year-old man. But, you know, I was 23, 25, and 27 when I had my kids, and it is so true that God will give you back what he took away, he'll give it back. Because I didn't have a relationship with my parents, only due to the fact that my father died when I was 15. My mom was just old. She passed away in 1999. I was still a young woman, but I have the most wonderful relationship with my kids. Whether we arguing or not, they know I'm their mama, they're my kids. They nothing more important. You know, there has been times I worked three jobs for these kids because they're my kids, and I brought them in this world, and that's what this week is about, how we treat our black kids across America, and I don't like it. And, you know, I've learned, and I had a 45th birthday last Wednesday, and my kids also made that wonderful for me. And, you know, and now that I'm old enough to stand up, and, you know, I realize as I get older, you know, life is all about what you do while you're here. It's not about what you gather up for yourself. It's about the impact you make on other people. And I just pray, first of all, first and foremost, that I made a great impact on my kids when I pass away. And I always tell them, I said, see, remember this when I'm dead. Remember this. Remember how I had you laughing, because there'll be a time when I'm not here. And I think about that, and I think about my parents. So the show today, we're going to continue on our Black Man in America kind of series. We always going to talk about that because that's a problem we need to solve. And we didn't really get to much of it last week. But, you know, Christmas is coming. So what we're going to talk about today is the kids. How are our black kids being treated across America? I have a couple bad examples. Unfortunately, one that's near and dear to my heart, you know. And so we're going to do a little of that. I got some special Christmas music, you know, to play that hopefully over the holidays. And we'll be here next Sunday, but play this again over the holidays. There are a lot of people out there that's looking us up, so we're drawing some interest. But this show is all about being real, and, you know, I just love it that God just said, hey, stay, stop, just stop everything. And if you don't do nothing else with the rest of your years, and I said, Lord, give me 45 more, please. Give me 45 more. But let me be real with everyone at M45. So this show is for kids, first and foremost, my kids, Jesse, Freddie, and Chris. It's being their mom that made me who I am today. And I love who I am today. So this show is for moms, for kids, and for family. And we're going to do some things out there. You know, we're going to try to change some things. I'm Stacey Johnson. This is the diary. This is the diary. It talks about what's on the minds of black people, and it talks about what the Association of African American Single Mothers is doing for all people, not just black people. We have some special music. So once again, we're coming out of Sacramento, California, born and raised in Los Angeles, and those Lakers, let's go. And I'm in Sac, so.
Boo the Lakers.
No.
The Kings, too.
Okay.
Antonio Spurs.
There we go. Yeah. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to follow up on the criminal justice system and the black man. And we need you to call in. Our call-in number is 917-988-9946. I think that's it. Once again, let me look and make sure. The call-in number is 917-889-9946. Let's do it again. You know, I got new glasses and they progress.
Let's like kind of sing it.
And
let's
okay,
917-889-9946.
No, we can't even say it, let alone sing it. But we'll be right back. Enjoy your reggae Christmas. All right, we're back. We took too much time being silly. This is Stacey, and I'm here talking about the diary. This is the radio show for the nonprofit organization, the Association of African American Single Mothers. Today is Sunday, December 20th, and we're coming out of Sacramento. Join us every Sunday, though, at 3 o'clock, because we're always going to have something interesting to say, and we want to hear from you. And let's do the call-in number right. If you want to call in and speak to us and share your thoughts and opinions on what we're talking about today, please do so at 917-889-9946. And you can also visit our website at www.aaasm.org. It's the Association of African American Single Mothers. I'm the executive director, and we have a lot of good things that are going on. We're talking today. We're going to follow up on the criminal justice system and the black man, and we're also going to talk about some things that's going on across the country. The disrespect, I think, is just disrespect of our young children, you know, across America. And, you know, they are the future for all of us, whether they're black, white, or whatever. But, you know, it touches me when we disrespect young children because, you know, they really don't have a say. They don't have power. They don't have anything. And you know, for people to think that they can just do what they want to with kids, you know, that gets to the heart of me. And raising two young boys, you know, it's happened a lot. And I've had to go into the school many times, you know, unfortunately not being able to put them in private school. They had to be in public school. And,
it should be a good place for them to be.
It should be a good place for them to be. But my experience, unfortunately, you know, with my kids, it's not been a good thing. My daughter's always had a good experience, you know. She went to a performing arts school, never had a problem. But something about our males, when we put them in school, you know, we can't trust that they're going to be treated fairly, given some hope, taught, and treated like other people. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And what we're also going to look at is some specific examples, a girl in Milwaukee that had her braid cut off. And then the other example, the boy that got arrested for chewing gum in the Thomas, that was my son that got arrested, and I'm currently right now trying to figure out what I can do in his best interest, and it's just crazy. But let us start right now to ask you if you want to call in and give your thoughts, please do so at 917-889-9946, and our website is www.aaasm.org. And right now we're going to talk about the criminal justice system and the black man in America, and I have some statistics that I have readily available on our site. And, you know, it touches me more than most because, once again, I have raised two sons, and, you know, I think I'm going to continue to always worry about their welfare, worry about, you know, their lives until probably until the day I die, because if you've raised a black son, and I want to hear, you know, your thoughts about it, and you can email me also, even if you happen to listen to this show after we air and you listen a little later, go ahead and email me your thoughts at director, and that's director at aaasm.org. You know, it's been my experience that, you know, it's been a battle to try to, you know, there's an attack on the African-American male, and it starts when they're young. And just as a personal example, and I know it because I lived it, you know, personal example, my sons were not even in junior high or not even in junior high. So they were still elementary school kids. And just to put it in perspective, my sons are now 19 and 17. And a lady told me, we were standing in line at the grocery store, and she said, you know, just wait till they're in junior high. They could be the best kids in the world, but wait till they go to junior high, especially if they go to public school. They're going to start getting suspended. They're going to start being accused of doing crazy stuff that they would never do at home, that you know they didn't do. But that's where it starts. You know, and I thought, what? What? Uh-uh, not my kids, because I'm going to fight it. Not my kids and not my kids. But lo and behold, you know, 15 years later, you know, it's exactly what happened. My son, first example, my son Christopher gets hit in the head with a hockey stick. He fights back. My son gets suspended, and the boy that hits him in the head with the hockey stick doesn't get suspended. So it's that kind of stuff that we deal with, and that as parents we have to be kind of educated on how do we get our kids around it, because, of course, it's going to make you pissed off and make you mad and make you think, you know, it's just going to make you mad. And what do you do when you're mad? You act out that anger in a way that they say, oh, look at the black people getting mad. But, you know, what do you do as a single mom in particular to guide your son who you may or may not have help with, get through it? And, you know, I did a lot of praying. And like I said, my sons, I ain't through it yet. So it's a daily thing. And we're never through it. So you have to teach African-American males the only way to get through this life and living through this world and living and making it is to have an education. That is something that even my parents said a long time ago. That's something they can't take away. You know, that's something you have a tool to fight with when you're educated. But when you don't have an education and the odds are already stacked against you, then you make it really hard, and you're just going to have a hard road to toe. And that's just the way that it is. So I want to look at some statistics that I have on our website. Once again, that's www.aaasm.org. And education, in 2003, the American Council on Education reported that 25% of the 1.9 million black men between the ages of 18 and 24 attended college in that same year. 35% of black women of the same age attended college. The graduation rate of the same year for black men was the lowest. Okay? A study performed by the Kaiser Foundation, published in 2006, and there should be some new stuff coming out this year, but this reports that in 2004, there were 4.5 million African-American males between the ages of 15 and 19 living in the U.S., and that's about 14% of the total population. Okay, the total 14% of all men of this age group, fewer than 8% of those have graduated from college, to 17% of white and 35% of Asian. So 17% of one of and 35% of Asian, 17% white people, 8% African American. Okay, and if you look on our website, long time ago, civil rights attorney, way back in the day, Charles Hamilton Houston. For blacks, without education, there is no hope for our people, and our future is lost. So that's it. It's pretty much, that's it. Your future is lost without education, black people, and in particular, black men. So that's what the association is all about, giving you choices and options, educating you, and letting you know. Okay, all that crap you see on TV, and I always go back to that, all that you see on TV, it's not real. Okay? It's not real. All them reality shows and all that stuff, somebody's paying those uneducated people to live that way. and we have to do something about that. Education is the only thing that's going to bring that. So that's the statistics for the black man. And one other interesting one, and they don't even say why, and this is why my son was born in 92, and we got to take another break. We're already too deep into it. It says a black male born in 1991 has a 29% chance of spending time in prison at some point in his life, okay? So if your son is born after 1991, he already has a 30% chance of going to jail just because. It don't even say for uneducated, but it doesn't make a difference, okay? Once again, it doesn't make a difference. A black male born after 1991 has a 29% chance of going to prison in some time in his lifetime. And now we got to take a break. We got to take a break. It is Christmas time, so we want to have a good feeling. And once again, Christmas is about, we're going to come back and say what Christmas is all about. But to me, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ saved my life, and hopefully it's saving the lives of people out there, and what we talk about hopefully can save some lives. I want to play Ave Maria. My sister sang opera my whole young life, and there's nothing more beautiful than that. And she sang this at my dad's funeral, and I almost passed out. But here's Ave Maria. This is what Christmas is all about, the love of Jesus Christ spreading around to people, and he does that through giving and loving and sharing, and that's what we're going to do. So how are we
Wait. That was beautiful. Ave
beautiful.
Maria.
Yeah, that's what Christmas. So it is about the birth of Jesus Christ. Christmas. Let's not forget. And just a little history for you. I'm a history buff. I love history because I always can, you know, it's good to be able to tell people stuff that they didn't know. And, you know, I like feeling smart. And, you know, so the history, the reason why we celebrate Christmas on the 25th, and we'll go through this really quick.
It started about the 3rd century A.D., so, you know, 300, 200, 300 years or so after Christ died. But December was the month that they celebrated the birth of the sun. You know, the pagan religion, they were worshiping the sun.
Yeah, I know that one better.
Right, exactly, right. So the Catholic religion or religion in general thought that's a good day because Christ is the Son of God, so let's make it easy for everybody to remember. So we celebrate it in December. So for all you people that find a reason not to celebrate Christ, or you can celebrate it, when, you know, I'm sure there's a way to find out when he was really born. But
why
I think
just celebrate the sun, like,
or celebrate the sun, you know, because God made the sun, and Christ is the Son of God, so that's why we celebrate in December. And then, of course, we live in a capitalistic society, so we try to, you know, make money from everything that goes on, and that's why we throw Santa Claus in a red suit and all of that good stuff. But you know, my family has always come from the perspective that Christmas is about the birth, celebrating the birth of Christ. We give presents because we were given the most precious present in the body of Christ.
So a lot of religion.
Right. There's a lot of religion.
Infused in your...
Right. And being born and raised in a household where my parents just celebrated every holiday and did it in fashion and wonderful style.
Wonderful.
And, you know, just made you just want Christmas to come. I mean, little villages on the mantle. You know, my mom did it all good.
Everything,
the little fake logs, everything. Even my, you know, and I'm the youngest of 11, so somebody went on the roof one day and did some bells, and I was done when I saw that Santa wrote me a note in the handwriting. No, wait. The handwriting was my sister Tammy. I was like, Santa show, right? Like Tammy, and she ate the cookies. I'm sure. So, but you know, that's what Christmas is all about, our children and making them happy and letting them know. That's why I give you a gift, because of the person of Jesus Christ who's given to all of us as a gift. So I extend my love because Christ loves me, I love you, so we give out gifts, and that's why we do it. So. This week, we're coming from Sacramento. This is The Diary, the radio show for the Association of African American Single Mothers. I'm Stacey Johnson, and I am with my co-host, Ray. And, you know, we were talking about the Black Congressional Congress, and she wanted to give you the website and some more information about where you can go if you want more information or if you want to send letters. Remember, those are the guys that are supposed to be doing things in our best interest. So I think, you know, it'd be good on my behalf if you send them a nice little letter and say, you know, this is what we feel we need, and let them know that you're out there and that you're paying attention to what they're doing. Go ahead, Ray.
Oh, okay. Hey. Well, first of all, the caucus was created in 1971, and it was formed with just 13 congressional members at. I believe that was all that was in Congress at the time. Now it's exploded. There's a nice representation of the Congress members in the Congressional Black Caucus, and there's negative and positive press about them all the time. But one of the things that they are focusing on is the same kind of agenda that we would like to see going on with our young people, and that's engaging them in more voting activity and really getting more activated as they were when Barack Obama was running for president for the next elections coming up, because the stakes are still so high for everybody. So we do want to, you know, link to them and get activated through them for the young people that really so crucially need to be represented as we go into new things with healthcare and with education and with jobs. We need to have a strong representation for the youth here so that they don't get left behind again. And so the caucus's website, I actually have it a little more specified than necessary. It's the Congressional Black Caucus .lee.house.gov/history. And I'm sure if you just typed in the Congressional Black Caucus, you get there.
Yep.
So
just
go there and learn all about them. We have a black woman chairman this year.
Lee, right? Yes. All right. Yep. So yeah, if you want to know more, in about a week or so, Ray's going to have an email address on our website. So if you have any questions, you can email her directly at our website, which is www.aaasm.org. And it's the Association of African American Single Mothers. This is the diary. This is what's on our mind. And hopefully this is what's on your mind. Or maybe, you know, things have been on your mind, but nobody's really out there addressing what needs to be done. So today we're talking about the treatment of the African American kid and kids in general, not even African Americans, across America. But we're going to do our best to try to address the needs of our young people. And if you want to call in, please do so at 917-889-9946. I'll be here to take your call at any point when we get them in. But also, if you listen to this show, which we're finding that's happening after we have recorded, please send me an email and we'll address and we'll answer your question and address your email on the next show, very beginning. And my email address is director@aaasm.org. Also, this is the end of the year fund drive for the association. There are a lot of good things that we're doing. We've already done this year, and we're going to continue on in new directions for next year. It looks like by the end of next year, I'll be able to employ some people. So I'm looking for some interns now. Yeah, finally, huh?
Yes.
Looking for some interns now that are committed to the program, committed to making the changes that we, our mission states that we must make. And now, today we're going to talk about the treatment of our kids across America and two incidents in particular. You know, and first thing I want to say, you know, we as adults have to stand up for kids, because if we don't, I mean, we could forget it. I mean, we won't have a future. There'll be nobody out there representing us as elderly Americans if we don't stand up for our kids, whether that's being a good mother, being attentive to the needs of your kids. And that doesn't mean giving them everything that they want. You know, that definitely is not what that means, because if you're blessed, as you should be, and all of us are blessed, and we have to realize that. And, you know, I always said when I was raising my kids, even through tough times, you know, I'm in charge of God's most precious commodity, and that's a child. So God's going to make sure I have what I need. And lo and behold, 22 years later, my oldest will be 22 in January, I had everything I needed to make for some good kids, and I have some really good kids. You know, they got,
I feel that way too.
Yeah. Yeah, she knows my kids, and I have two boys and a girl, very good kids, independent thinkers, to the point where they, you know, right now ain't got no problem with telling mom where
and
to go.
Mine too.
Yep, and Kelsey too. And Kelsey's a good girl too.
Yes.
Jesse, Freddie, you know, we raise some kids that are out there exposed to more than they should be. So
Absolutely.
we as parents have to think, or have to teach them how to think strategically. And my whole thing is,
I always say the same thing.
Right. It has to be, especially when it comes to the males, because you're a target out there. So, you know, the one thing that takes the target off your back is an education. That's the one thing that takes it off all of, whether you're male, no matter whether you're Hispanic, whatever. You know, that takes the target off your back. So let's talk about the girl that got her ponytail cut off in Milwaukee. And my thing about that is, you know, how a teacher would have the gall to even think that she could put her hands on someone else's child.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think when it comes
that
to Africa,
there is assault.
I mean, it's assault. And then it's basically what happened is the little girl's in class playing with her ponytail. She has a head full of braids.
And
right?
It's absent-minded. It's not vicious.
And she's a child. My daughter had a head full of long braids in the third grade. What would I have done if a teacher would have cut off her braid? Oh, my God. I probably wouldn't be sitting here today.
Right.
You know, there'd be a whole big history behind what happened that day. Okay? But, you know, just the gall, the massacre at Bell Avenue or wherever it would have been. You know, but I'm saying just the gall just to think that you could put your hands in that kind of way and cut off someone's head. I mean hair. You might as well. Lord have mercy.
No, thank God.
I mean, you know, so what I'm saying as a parent, what I would have done and what I hope this parent did do, and we will try to follow up with that. And the person that volunteered made us aware of it. We asked for her that she call in and give us her thoughts about it. But, you know, she made us aware of it. I mean, just the gall. And what I hope the parent did, you know, they went back, and, of course, the district attorney for the state, for the city, chose not to press charges, and the the teacher was only fined $175. But that gives the, I mean, the parent has every right to go ahead and file suit, find a good attorney, and file a civil suit against, because that's definitely an infringement of that child's right. Not only did she cut off the hair, but she paraded the kid in front of the classroom.
And then, as I read the story, she also was, the child was removed from the classroom, not the teacher. So the child was disrupted. And
right.
The only positive thing about that is if she wanted to be, because she had been
embarrassed
in front of those students. So if it was by her choice, great. But if they removed that child out of a comfort zone because she was the one that was abused, that's bad. The teacher should have been removed.
And I'm thinking, why? I mean, as a principal of that school, I'm almost thinking maybe this teacher is not all there mentally. If she thinks the best punishment for this child is to cut off this child's hair.
Well, that's what they were also saying, too, is that they were using the excuse in my mind, but it is an understandable excuse, of the stress of everybody in the educational system. And so we really need to be watching what kind of dispositions the teachers that are teaching our kids have these days, because there is undue stress on the teachers. They need to be people who can handle that kind of pressure.
Okay, and that's the same thing, okay?
On our kids.
The same thing, okay, a cop too. He's dealt with a lot of stress,
right.
So does he have the right to catch the shit out of me?
And that's the point.
Or when I call him a bastard?
And that's the point.
That's the point, is that if you're put in that position of power, you should be able to deal with that, especially when it comes to precious and you know, children that are in they're highly in, you know, they can be highly influenced by whatever
Absolutely.
That goes on at a young age, and you know, and that's why
the way to handle.
That's why I've been mad for the past 20 years, because it's like every time, at least once a year, I had to go in the front desk lady, and she would disrespect me. You know, I one instance, I made a point to visit my kid's classroom because he's acting like a fool. You know, so I made it a point. I called every teacher, emailed them, I'll be there. I even brought McDonald's for my son. And a lot of them, and the front desk chick said she never got noticed, so I wasn't coming in. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know?
They ruined the community for
reason. And if you can come in, you can't bring in McDonald's. It's got to be the school food. Right?
They've made changes in the wrong areas.
Right, right, right. And every principal is an ex-cop where my sons go to school. That's ridiculous. Because, you know, they're trying to get these young boys anyway, because my focus is on young boys. Because I don't like the way they're being treated and they're misrepresented, as far as I'm concerned, in American society. The African-American male is misrepresented. He has no representation.
Mm-hmm.
He has nobody that's standing up on his side and saying, no, you can't defranchise us like this. No, you can't continue to treat us like, you can't continue to incarcerate. You're holding your mouth.
I am.
Okay, what?
I just want to know, because I don't believe that they have it. I think that they have different, but not any more real problems than, say, the black woman.
No, that's not true.
Because the black woman's the one that's sitting there doing.
No, because she has no choice.
Right, exactly.
She has no choice.
Does she walk away?
Nope. Not if she wants, like me, I'm not going
to
walk away.
You say,
but I'm saying that's the majority of black women out there.
That's what I'm saying, though. They make the choice to do things a certain way despite the odds.
Right, right.
And they have the female thing and the black thing and the gay thing and everything else.
Being a, come on now, wait. Come on, give me some credit. Being a woman out there in the professional,
right,
in the corporate world,
right,
they let us call our shots. They don't. I work for a major insurance company. There are no black males that are doing the job. Does that mean there are no black men?
That's a great point. I don't want it to hear.
Come on.
Question.
And you can't, like I tell people, you can't tell me there aren't black males that know how to adjust claims.
Okay.
You can't tell me that.
Okay.
Okay. You can't. If I can do it, there are plenty of.
So,
but see, they got issue with their own kind. And
where does that break down, though? Because there's no.
That breaks down because there are no people like me standing up, and especially in this economy, there are no people like me standing up to say, you're not going to treat me like that just because the economy is the way that it is, because I'm a big man.
Like all of us.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's get back to the kids, though. But what I'm saying is, as far as we have to stand up for our black boy, we have to stand up and realize that, you know, black mothers or whatever mother, poor mothers, you don't even have to be black. Because, you know, they treat Hispanics just as bad. I mean, poor. That's the reason race.
I always say it's class.
Is it class or is it race? But
I mean,
my focus are African-Americans because I have a duty. You know, I have a duty to African-Americans. I have a duty. I have a duty to African-Americans. So I'm talking about right now, and I'll help anybody, and everybody knows it. Because, you know, and I didn't put it in my annual report that I got available online after midnight today, but 90% of the people that the Association of African American Single Mothers helped were not African American. And people need to understand that because poverty knows no color.
See, that's a good point for you.
Okay, and ignorant people need to know it because I have been approached by so many Christians and ignorant people that come up with every reason other, well, God didn't lead me in that direction. Well, you know what? God will lead you to hell no matter what. So whoever you have, okay. And let's go back to the black kid and the disrespect because Perry, Steve Perry is the black dude, the teacher they done hired on CNN to talk about black people in education. And I didn't like him for a minute because, you know, we can all talk about what our black people is not doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious from statistics that there's a lot that we're not doing, okay, as people. But what are who's out there helping us do what we need to do? I'm not willing to go to the next 45 years that I've asked God to give me and just complain about what we're not doing. I'm going to step my foot right in the pile of shit and try to help. So, but for the first time ever, I heard him say, you know, yeah, the black community is the way that it is for this reason. He said, if you look in the black community, every street corner has a church. There's a church here, the anointed praise of worship, the house of this, the praise of this, the this. Every in Oak Park, California, in Sacramento, every corner there's a church. But why is there poverty in that on the same corner? Why is low income people suffering? The kids ain't learning nothing. High poverty, high crime. What good are the churches doing? And I felt that way for the past 15 years. Why is there a church and it's closed up tight as a drum Monday through Saturday, but on Sunday they want everybody to come, right, to get a 10%,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to go to hell if you don't get your 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, go to churches have bankrupted our kids and our people forever. When a pastor told me here in Sacramento, yeah, I'll let you do my program, but you got to pay $80 and take this class, and you got to pay this and take that class, and once you pass that class, what about what I can do for the people?
Exactly.
And okay, if I can't do my thing for the people, let me help you with what I have. And then one guy threw me to the curb because I was uppity and I was trying to take over his church. Well, just show me what you're doing. I'll give you what I got.
Mm-hmm.
If I've shown so in 2009, I've shown so many people, this is what we're trying to do. If you're doing it, and I'm talking about doing it as in going to these people, because these people ain't going to come. Our black people don't go out. They're not going to go out to you to help their kids, but they'll listen to you if you come knock on their door. And nobody's knocking on their door.
Wow, that's insightful.
It's grassroots.
You need to really, that's something that needs to be your mantra, because the way you said it and what you said was so important to get across to people.
I mean, that's it. And that's why people don't like me, because I talk down all them high and mighty Church of God on the east side, west side, the north side, east side. We got CC on the left side, right side. What do you have? How many people have you let out of poverty? You know what I'm saying? How many people have, show me some statistics where you've let a single mother out of poverty. Because it took me about three, four years if you really on track. You can lift yourself out of poverty if you have help. I had no help, and I lifted myself out.
See, and I think that's why the theme of everything really should be, you know, kind of a kids thing that has to do with.
That's what Christmas is all about. It's all about kids, you know, and I'm like, stop faking. It's time to stop faking. It's time to start standing up for these kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is about kids. I'm about kids. I love kids. I'm the youngest kid of 11. You know, my mother and father worked to the very end, you know, to make sure, you know, that when Christmas was coming, Christmas was coming, and we getting ready to play. Christmas is coming. Woo! That was Christmas is coming, and I know every kid in America is like, they chops is like, they foam it at the mouth, waiting to see what Santa Claus brought us, you know. And what my hope is for every kid, you know, we have some things that we, you know, we're giving away this year, but we made such strides this year so we can set ourselves in the right position to help more kids for next year. You know, we set up a lot of things. We got some partnerships. Our thing is Communities of Hope, and that is just our program to help low-income families bring themselves out of it. Support us now and support us through 2010, you know, and it's all about kids, really. This whole thing is about, we want to give kids hope that, you know, there is something to hope for, and Christmas is coming, and we want to give them stability and keep going. And one thing I hope for everyone is that protect your children, love your children, because, you know, you're all that they have. So everybody have a very Merry Christmas. Join us next week. This is the diary. We want to hear what's on your mind. Email me after the show, director@aaasm.org. And we want to wish, and I will be opening up my chat. For you guys to go ahead and chat along and send me, you know, what you thought about the show, and I'll do that for the next hour. But we wish you a Merry Christmas, and here it is. Merry Christmas to everyone.